All right, let's dive into the Gospel of Luke. You sent in Dr. Darko's lecture transcript, and we're going to break it down together.
It's always exciting to revisit a book so many are familiar with, but with new insights.
For sure. Like, where do we even start? Well, first off, who actually wrote this gospel?
That's the thing. It doesn't come right out and say.
It's like a mystery novel.
Yeah. But scholars have used clues to try to figure out who this author might be.
Like, what kind of clues?
Some point to the writing style. Like, it's very similar to Acts, so maybe the same person wrote both. It's like a fingerprint.
Ah, I see. Makes sense. What about other sources? What do those say?
Well, we have early manuscripts, like P75, one of the oldest copies we have, and it names Luke as the author.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty direct evidence.
And it's backed up by early church documents like the Muratorian Canon.
Okay, so we have manuscripts and official documents.
Yeah, and even big names in early Christianity like Irenaeus, Tertullian, Eusebius. All these guys point to Luke.
So safe to say it was probably this Luke guy. But who was he?
The Muratorian Canon says he was a physician, a doctor.
Whoa, hold on. So he's writing about miracles and stuff. But as a doctor.
Right. Did that make him skeptical? Or did it make him see those things differently?
Like maybe he was thinking, no way, that's not how bodies work.
Exactly. We have to remember he had this whole background that could have shaped his views.
So he was more than just Luke, the gospel writer.
Yeah. And from his writing, scholars believe he wasn't an eyewitness to Jesus. Probably a second or third generation Christian.
So not someone who saw it all firsthand.
But he was careful. Gathered accounts from people who were there, like a good journalist.
Not just making things up.
No, he was educated too, great Greek, knew the Old Testament really well.
Which is cool, because sometimes people think faith and intelligence can't go together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to really get Luke, we have to understand how he saw the world. It was different back then.
Okay, so how did he view the world?
The spiritual and material were all mixed up for him. Angels talking to people, spirits influencing things, dreams with messages. This was normal.
So something like the virgin birth, that wouldn't have been so weird for them.
Exactly. It fit right in. And that's key to how he writes about Jesus. The miracles, the demons. It's all part of this world where the spiritual is super active.
We have to kind of shift our thinking to get it.
Right. And it helps to zoom out even further and look at Judaism back then.
Oh, yeah. Jesus wasn't just in a bubble, right? He was part of that whole world.
Yeah. And when Luke was writing, Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah, the one to free them, make their kingdom great again.
But weren't there tons of different groups within Judaism back then?
You got it. Like the Pharisees, super strict about the law, believed in the afterlife.
And what about those Sadducees I always hear about?
Them too.
Yeah.
Associated with the temple, didn't believe in resurrection, so totally different.
And weren't the Pharisees always the bad guys in the Gospels, like against Jesus?
Not always. Luke is actually more balanced. Sometimes they clash. No. Sometimes they're on his side.
Things are never as simple as they seem.
Nope. And Luke is trying to show that whole picture of how Jesus fit in with those groups.
Okay, so even with differences, what united these Jewish groups?
Four big things. First, the Shema. Belief in one God, Yahweh. That was huge.
Right, like the core of their faith. What else?
Second, they believed they were God's chosen people, and circumcision was a big deal, a sign of their covenant with God.
It's amazing how much impact those ancient beliefs still have today. What were the other two?
Okay, third was the Torah, God's law. Everyone agreed it was important, even if they disagreed on the details.
On the temple, right.
You got it. The heart of Judaism, where they worshipped, celebrated, everything centered around it.
So we've got this whole complex Jewish world, and that's where Jesus comes in.
Exactly, and Luke wants us to see that. He's showing us Jesus interacting with all of that, fulfilling prophecy, shaking things up, but still deeply rooted in his Jewishness.
Like even the beginning of Luke, with his birth and childhood, it's all setting the stage.
Perfectly put. It's all building up to this incredible story of his life, ministry, and eventually his death and resurrection. But before we go there, we got to talk about Theophilus.
Oh, yeah. The guy Luke wrote this whole thing for. Who was he?
Good question. It's a mystery that's puzzled people for ages. We think he was probably a Gentile, maybe even someone important, but that's about it.
Sounds like a biblical riddle.
Kinda. Some scholars think he might have been a rich patron supporting Luke's work.
Like a sponsor.
Yeah, maybe. Others say maybe a Roman official, even the one in charge of Paul when he was imprisoned.
Oh, wow. So Luke could have been explaining Christianity to someone with power.
It's possible. Or maybe Theophilus was just curious about Christianity, not a believer yet.
Or a new convert, and Luke wanted to teach him more.
so many possibilities.
I like that his name means lover of God. Maybe it's for anyone who loves God, which includes us, right?
I love that. It really speaks to how universal Luke's message is.
Speaking of, what was his main goal in writing this? Why share this story about Jesus?
Well, a few things. He wanted a well-researched account of Jesus, you know, based in history, not just made-up stuff.
Like a historical record, but also explaining what it all meant.
Exactly. And he wanted to show how the Christian movement started and grew, especially how it went beyond just Jewish people.
Like from those early days to spreading all over.
Exactly. And last but not least, he wanted to inspire Theophilus, and by extension all of us, to really understand and commit to the Christian faith.
So it's history, theology, and a call to action. Amazing how relevant it still is.
It really is. What's cool is how Luke blends those things together, creating this powerful story that helps us connect with Jesus in a new way.
It's like getting a behind-the-scenes look at his life, not just what he did, but why.
And he includes everyone, women, the poor, those who were pushed aside. They're all important to Jesus in this story.
It's like he's challenging the norms of his time, showing that Jesus' love was for everyone.
That makes you think, how does that focus on social justice, caring for those on the margins, speak to us today?
It's a big question. We have to look around and see who's being left out, who's struggling, and think, what would Jesus do?
Exactly. And how can we live that out in our own lives?
It's been amazing so far. Like, we're time traveling, going deep into all these layers of history and faith.
I know. I encourage everyone to check out Dr. Darko's lecture. Really dig into Luke's gospel. There's always more to find.
That's the best part. The discovery never ends. We'll be back in just a bit to keep this deep dive going.
It's wild how much we've already covered in Luke. Mm. We've talked about the author, the history, who he was writing to, but we haven't even said when this book was written.
That's true. We've been jumping around in time. It would be good to know, like, when did Luke actually put pen to paper?
Well, there are a couple of main ideas about that. One theory is that Luke wrote his gospel and maybe Acts 2 sometime before Paul died.
So that would put it, what, mid-60s, AD?
Yeah, around there. But the other theory, and it's more popular among scholars, puts it a bit later, between 70 and 90 AD. A lot of folks think the 80s are most likely.
Okay, so why the different dates? What makes people think one way or the other?
A few reasons. For that later date, it looks like Luke used Mark's gospel as a source, and Mark probably wrote his in the 70s.
So it's like a chain. Mark comes first, then Luke builds on that.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, Luke's writing style feels more reflective. Like he's looking back on things that happened, thinking about what they mean. It doesn't feel like a diary, you know, written right in the moment.
Like he took his time, crafted the story, brought in different sources, and added his own thoughts.
Totally. And that makes it even more interesting to read, even now.
And speaking of interesting, one thing I always notice about Luke is how much he focuses on the people who are left out, you know, those on the margins of society.
Absolutely. Luke really makes a point of including women, the poor, sick people, even tax collectors and those considered sinners, folks that most people ignored or looked down on.
Yeah, it's not just that they're there, it's that they're important to the story. Like the prodigal son or that woman who washed Jesus' feet. Those are stories that really speak to anyone who feels like they don't belong.
Exactly. It's like Luke saying, no one is too far gone for Jesus. His love is for everyone, no matter what.
So what can we learn from that? How can we apply that focus on social justice to our own lives?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We have to look around, see who's being ignored, who's hurting, and ask ourselves, how would Jesus treat them?
It's like Luke's giving us this example, showing us how to build a world where everyone is valued and treated with compassion.
That's what makes Luke's gospel so powerful. It's not just a story from the past. It's a challenge for us to live differently, to love better, and to make the world a better place.
It's incredible to think that even though so much has changed since Luke's time, his message is still so relevant today.
I agree. And as we continue exploring Luke, you'll see that message of love and compassion in every story, every teaching, every interaction with Jesus.
I can't wait to see what else we uncover. You know, it's weird, Luke's gospel. It's like, I know the story, but every time we dig in, there's something new.
It is like that, isn't it? We've talked about who wrote it, his worldview, the whole historical setting, even that Theophilus mystery, but we've barely scratched the surface of everything Luke has to offer.
It really is like a journey, like we're exploring this huge world with so much to discover.
I like that, a journey. And one thing that's really prominent in Luke's journey, it's prayer. It's like woven through the whole gospel.
Oh, that's true. Now that you mention it, I remember lots of times Jesus is praying, like, before he picks his disciples, in the garden, even on the cross.
Exactly. Luke really emphasizes that. It's like he's saying, look, if Jesus, God's son, needed to pray, then how much more do we need it?
It makes prayer seem less like, you know, just a ritual and more like something vital, a way to connect with God, especially when things are tough.
I think so, too. And Luke doesn't just show Jesus praying. He actually gives us guidance on how to do it, like the Lord's Prayer. That's a perfect example.
It's almost like a blueprint for how to pray, what to say, how to ask for things, how to seek forgiveness.
It really is. And there's something so comforting about knowing we can talk to God using those same words Jesus taught his disciples.
This whole deep dive has been amazing. It's not just history and theology. It's like a spiritual journey, too.
It has been a journey, hasn't it? And as we wrap up, I want to encourage everyone, don't just read Luke. Experience it. Let it move you, challenge you. Let that message of hope really sink in.
It's not just head knowledge. It's letting it change your heart, your life, everything.
And remember, this is just the start. There's always more to learn, more to think about. Go back to Dr. Darko's lecture, reread Luke, see what else jumps out at you.
That's the beauty of it. The discovery never ends. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep. We'll be back soon with another deep dive, ready to unearth even more fascinating insights together.